We're doing the Navi Yeshaya, and the Navi had been describing that there is going to be a judgment day where Hashem will bring down all of the aristocracy, all the nobles, the politicians, all those that had positions of importance will be lowered. And then the Navi continues in what's called the second chapter, the 18th Pasuk, Ve'alilim kalil yachalof, and all the idols will pass, they will be wiped out, they're going to be wiped out of the world completely. There will be no more idol worship. And people will go into caves within the rocks. The pagans will go into crevices in the stones. They will go into tunnels in the earth. Out of fear of Hashem, out of respect for His honor, when Hashem comes out throughout the land to break and destroy the inhabitants of the land, those that have been idol worshippers. And then everyone will look for places to hide, all the pagans. Bayom ahu yashlich ha'adam, and on that day people will discard eight elilei chaspo, their silver idols, ve'eit elilei zehavo, and their golden idols, asher asulo lishtachavot lachpo perot ve'latalefim. They made those idols to bow to, lachpo perot ve'latalefim. So one understanding is they will discard those idols to places that were dug, and to places that are the holes in which the bats live. Lachpo perot ve'latalefim. So one understanding is that's where they will discard their idols to. They will discard them into those holes that are made for fruits, into those holes that are made for bats. Another understanding is that the word lachpo perot is really a conjunction. It's really two words. Lachfo perot is the word chafal perot. Chafal perot is a type of vermin that digs in the ground. In modern Hebrew, I think they call it a weasel, a chafal peret, a mole, I don't know. So they made idols. Okay. So, asher asulo lishtachavot, the alternative understanding is they made these figurines to bow to lachfo perot, figurines of chafol perot, figurines of these moles, and atalefim, figurines of bats. So the two understandings, either it's a description of the hole or it's a description of the idol itself that will be discarded. Yes?
The first opinion, would that be enough for this to be discarded?
No. That's just hiding the evidence.
Oh, okay.
They're trying to hide it. So the idea here was they were trying to hide the evidence. Or they had no interest in the idols anymore. Meaning they realized there was no benefit to it, so they discarded it. They threw it away, either here or there. Yeah, they could have melted them. They could have made money. That's true. That understanding is difficult. You're right. If it's an idea of just discarding, right? Why wouldn't they use it for money?
Yeah.
Halachically, no. But then halachically, they should have destroyed it anyways. I don't know. Maybe it is tshuva. Maybe on their level, they want to discard it. And anyways, the pasuk on the surface is not clear whether it's talking about the Jews or the world at large will discard their idols. And even though Jews cannot use an idol after it's been discarded, but a person who's not Jewish doesn't have that limitation. Meaning, so if this is not talking about the Jewish people, so then they could have reused it, they could have melted it down and used the gold and silver. Yeah?
Isn't there also an idea that if they defaced the idol themselves,
yes, so that's what I'm saying. If they're defacing it, then they could also use it. We could, so long as it did not come into a Jew's possession as an idol. If the non-Jew eradicates any honor from that item, either by... there's a discussion in the Gemara. Does he have to break off its nose? Does he have to do an act? But at any rate, once they remove that designation from that piece of metal, so then we can also benefit from it, provided that they do that before it comes into our ownership. That it wasn't an idol owned by a Jew. It was an idol owned by a pagan, and then a non-Jew eradicated its status from it.
So if we have like a Buddhist or snap the head off of a Buddha, would a Jew be allowed to take this headless Buddha and use it as like a paperweight?
So if you're asking me halacha lemaise, I have to review the halachot. On the surface, I'm telling you what I remember from the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. But halacha lemaise, I have to make sure I looked inside and I didn't forget something. Yeah.
If it belonged to a non-Jew and then a Jew destroyed it, is there some kind of effect when the Jew actually became his possession before he destroyed it?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a problem.
Correct.
Even though he just took possession of it to destroy it.
Correct. But once it entered his possession, that's it. It becomes forbidden for all Jews forever.
Right?
לבוא בניקות הצורים ובסיפי הסלעים. We did that. פסוק כ"ב. No, we didn't do that. לבוא בניקות הצורים ובסיפי הסלעים. When people will go to hide in the crevices of the stones, in the overhangs of the rocks. What are they called? Those rocks that stick out and you could slide underneath them? You have sometimes a rock, these big boulders where you could really climb underneath. That's the Feya Silaim. You have like shelves, I think they're called.
A ledge,
a shelf. You have where the stones stick out and you could go and crawl underneath. That's the Feya Silaim. The difference between Tzur and Sela. Tzur ordinarily is a smaller rock. Sela ordinarily is a huge rock, a rock that hasn't been moved ever. Mipenei pachad Adonai umeyadav geono bekumo la'avot ha'aretz. They're doing this out of fear of Hashem, out of awe of His glory, when Hashem comes to destroy the pagans on earth. Chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama be'apo ki bamen nechshav hu. Hashem says, cease from your idol worship. Because if you look at the human being, you see what he's worth. What's he worth? When the soul leaves him, he's buried and he passes from the world. So then how could you worship an idol that never has life? Even a human being, you'd think, is something worth glorifying. But you see, the human being loses life. How much more so the idol that never has life? So that's one understanding. The other understanding is, Chidlu lachem min ha'adam, stop being persuaded by human beings. People sometimes convince you to worship this idol or that idol. Chidlu lachem min ha'adam. Stop listening to those people. Asher neshama be'apo, his whole life is contingent on his breath. And you see that life passes from him. And, kivameh nechshav hu. What's his importance? His whole importance is his capacity to live, while his life can pass in a moment and does pass in a moment. Ki hine Adon Adonai Tzevaot Meisir Mirushalayim Umiyihuda Masheinu Masheina. Because Hashem says, the Master, Hashem, who controls all armies, will remove from Jerusalem and from Judea Mash'einu Mash'eina, any form of support. Kol Mishan Lechem V'chol Mishan Mayim, support of bread, support of water, the basic necessities of humanity. Anything you need for sustenance will leave. And the Talmud tells us in Chagiga, the prophet Yeshaya got so upset at Am Yisrael for their paganism that he's going to curse them 18 curses. And he doesn't calm down, says the Gemara, until he finishes his 18 curses, which we're now going to see. Kibo ve'ish milchama, shofet v'navi, v'kosehim v'zakein. Be it a brave warrior, a man of war, be it a judge, be it a prophet. He's talking about false prophets. be it a kosem, a sorcerer, an astrologer, vizaken, or someone aged, sal chamishim unsufanim, it could be a general in charge of a battalion of 50, it could be someone that's honorable, viyoetz, vachacham charashim unvon lachash, it could be someone who knows other people's thoughts, someone who's wise, someone who understands lachash, who understands the secrets of the Torah that are only uttered in a whisper. V'natati ne'arim sarihim v'talulim yimshaluvam. And I will make lads take control. V'natati ne'arim sarihim. I will give control to the youngsters. V'talulim yimshaluvam. And the jokers will take control over them. And they will... One of the worst curses is to be controlled by a leadership that's immature. We see that today. A leadership that's immature. I remember when a certain person became president, shall remain nameless, someone told me, you're going to see that just being a senator for a short amount of time doesn't give a person the understanding necessary. It's like giving a child to drive a bus. He doesn't know. He's going to bump into things. He's going to run things over. Yeah, he's not going to know what he's doing. I spoke to an economist a year ago. He told me economists worldwide agree that he's destroying the American economy. He said to me, there's no one who thinks he's doing what's right. He said, they have conversations among economists. The only question is, how bad is it and how long it's going to take to get out of it? But no one looks at what he's doing and says, that makes sense. That's economically sound.
But right now they're bellowing.
You can never judge on a moment. I mean, currencies fluctuate so fast.
Right.
But the two things.
Yeah. They ask these slow rockers, right, who don't know anything, right? They ask you, what do you think about so-and-so, the president? And they're like, well, they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize right away when he got in office, just for being president. They're like, you have to work a little bit before you get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. The Sefer Masiyot by Rav Nisim Gaon records a story that Eliyahu HaNavi once appeared, I think it was, to Rabbi Yoshua, and offered him to come on his journeys with him. He said, but one condition, you're not allowed to ask me questions. So he asked him, could I come along with you? And he said, he kept davening, Eliyahu should appear. Eliyahu finally appeared, and he said, okay, you want to come with me, but you're not allowed to ask me any questions. So one of the things that happens is that Eliyahu and he come to a city where they treat them very well. And Eliyahu davens that they should have a leader. And they come to another city where they treat them very badly, and Eliyahu davens they should all be leaders. So he asks them what's going on, and of course he can't contain himself. That's what keeps happening in the story. Eliyahu made a condition, you're not allowed to ask me questions, and he keeps asking him questions. So the city where they treated them well, so they should have one leader because that's what's best for them. You have one old leader, that's what's best for people. The city where they treated them badly, he davened that they should all go up the leadership and then they should all fight who's the leader. And when you have a situation where there's disarray in the leaderships, then everyone suffers. And that's one of the worst curses that Yeshayahu gave us here. He said, there will be children who will be leading us. And so, ta'alulim yim shelubam. So then, all kinds of despicable things will take control of the people, because if weak people take the helm, so then everyone suffers. V'nigas ha'am ish be'ish ve'ish be'reyeyu, and then people will start oppressing one another. Important people against important people, people against their best friend. Yirhavu hanal bazakein ve'hanikle banichbad. The lads will be proud and overtake the elders. The people who should be shamed will come and deride those that should be honorable. Ki yitpos ish ve'achiv be'et aviv simla lecha katzin tiye lanu. And a person will grab his brother, he's not even a real brother, a relative from his father's house, and he'll tell him, you know what, you have a simla, you have a nice cloak, so why don't you be our general? Katzin tiye lanu v'amachshela hazot tachat yadecha. And where you see we're stumbling, we keep on fighting one another, you take control. Yisa vayom hahu leimo lo eyeh chovesh. So then he'll swear and he'll answer and say, I can't be the one in charge. He'll say, how could I be the one in charge? Uveveiti ein lechem ve'ein simla. You think I have a nice cloak? I have nothing at home. If you come into my house, you'll see there's not even a slice of bread left. There's no garments left. Lo tesimuni ketzin am. Don't appoint me as the leader here. Ki chashela Yerushalayim v'Yehuda nafal. There's such poverty that it will cause Jerusalem to stumble. It will cause Judea to fall. Ki leshonam uma'aleleihem el Adonai lamrot einei chivodo. Because they have turned their mouths against Hashem, and their intent is to be rebellious and scornful towards heaven, and they say, God doesn't really know what's going on over here. So Hashem says, okay, when you have it good, you say, I don't know what's going on over here, so I'm going to show you. Lamrot inei kevodo, they rebel against the eyes of His honor, because they're saying, what does He know? Hakarat pineihem ha'netabam. Hashem says, their brazenness is testimony to their wickedness. Hakarat pineihem anitabam. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, you just look at their faces and that's testimony to where they're holding. The brazenness that's shining from their faces is testimony to their wickedness. Chazal say, and we'll see this as a recurring theme more than once in the Navi Yeshayahu, that a Jew can be discerned from a non-Jew. The Nazis brought it down to a science, but we're going to see this as something that Yeshayahu says, you can catch him just by looking at him. Hakarat p'neim anetabam v'chatatam kisdomi gidu lo chicheidu. And they openly confess their sins. They're not even hiding it. They go and tell one another what they did. The Talmud tells us people would meet in the marketplace and compare notes. What prostitute did you visit today and who did you sleep with today? They'd be talking openly in the streets of Jerusalem about their promiscuity. Kisdom higidu. They'd speak about it openly like the Sodomites. Lo chichedu. They didn't even think to lie about it. Oy le nafsham ki gamlu lahem ra'a. Woe to their souls because they're really doing bad to themselves. They are the root of their own suffering. Imru tzadik ki tov. At least when you see a tzaddik, praise him. The tzaddikim will ultimately eat the fruits of what they do. And obviously that wasn't the case then. Obviously at that time the people were deriding the tzaddikim. Now Chazal say, Imru tzaddik ki tov, the Gemara in Horios tells us. What does that mean, tzaddik tov? Isn't every tzaddik tov? So the Gemara says, no. Tzaddik means he's good between him and heaven. Tov means he's good between him and his fellow man. Rasha means between him and heaven. Ra is between him and his fellow man. Imru tzaddik ki tov. Say that you aspire to be both a tzaddik and tov. Both good towards heaven and good towards your fellow man. And we'll pick up here, Bezalel Shem, next week.